Humboldt Holding Up is brought to you by Los Bagels, one of our local businesses who have totally been holding it down during the pandemic. Right now, they're open 7 days a week in both Arcata and Eureka. They've got fresh baked bagels, pastries, delicious coffee and espresso drinks. They offer outdoor seating at both locations now so you can stay distant and safe while still eating someplace other than your own house. Amazing. Check out Los Bagels, open 7 to 2 daily at 1061 I Street in Arcata and 403 2nd Street in Old Town Eureka.
Happy Humboldt, everyone. This is Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outposts podcast. I think that we can officially say that now. It's been,
I will allow it.
You will allow it. Okay. It's officially a podcast. Woohoo. I'm Stephanie McGarry.
And I'm Andrew Goff. Wait, Stephanie, why, in what ways would it not be a podcast?
Well, I don't know.
What's the qualification? I feel like part of our duty, like does Humboldt listen to podcasts more or less than the world at large? I would argue less. So it is our job to define for this county what a podcast is, and okay, then and train them to know that they love them.
So what then what is it?
This is a podcast, baby.
This is a podcast, baby. Yeah. I think what I guess, if anything, it's that it's even more than a podcast. That's what I think that you could say that now that we're on iTunes, we're probably officially a podcast. So I'm just gonna
subscribe
there. You can now subscribe to Humboldt Holding Up on iTunes if you feel like you want to do that. Also, just a reminder, we're always looking for sponsors. If you want to do that on our podcast, then just email advertise@lostcoastoutpost.com and somebody will respond to that email.
Today on Humboldt Holding Up, we are grateful to have Sophia Pereira as our guest. Sophia has been on the Arcata City Council for 6 years now and is someone, at least I consider to be one of the more politically perceptive local politicians we have. And she did something crazy. She went ahead and had a baby in the middle of a global pandemic. So we'll talk to her about that too.
She just went ahead and had a baby. Just went ahead and did that.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get her in here.
Hey.
Yep, there it is.
You lucked out. Here I am. My son's going down for a nap. So I think we'll be fine, but there may be.
Okay. If baby Reese needs to come in and make an appearance, he has opinions on issues. He's welcome to opine.
Yes. And in the earlier days, I was doing this from home always, and you know, and Ziggy would definitely interrupt sometimes. We'd be having a lot of baby cry. Occasionally I have her, you know, with me, and we'd just have her, you know, help us do the intro or whatever. So that's all. This is how it is these days. This is how COVID is, you know.
Yeah. Let's we'll officially kick things off. We would like to welcome Arcata City Council member Sophia Pereira into Zoom land. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have lots of Arcata stuff to get to, but first, we are recording this on Friday morning at a moment when the news is moving pretty fast. But I think this was the first day in this process when we all woke up, we saw the state of the race in Pennsylvania and Georgia and Arizona. It sure looks like Joe Biden has won this thing, which I'm sure you're significantly pumped about.
How could you have guessed that?
Yeah,
I know.
I'm gonna assume that you've been glued to this thing, yeah?
Yeah, up at all hours, not related to the election perhaps, but following while I'm up at all hours with the newborn and checking the news and pleased to see where it was going last night and this morning.
So I'm curious, like how have you been consuming your election news? Like what has the last few days been like? Like what have you been putting in your brain?
I mean, I'll admit I use Twitter a lot to kind of see, I mean, obviously following like official news sources and seeing what's coming in there, but also just seeing what the debate is looking like. And you know, whether it's about polling, should we listen to pollsters anymore, yes or no, to just even, I think, the debate about, you know, fact checking on social media, you know, the president tweeting things that are getting fact checked, or even, you know, Andrew Yang tweeting this morning saying, you know, yay, president-elect, and it has a disclaimer saying, you know, this hasn't been this hasn't been called by official, you know, news outlets. So I find that's a place where I can kind of absorb a lot of different information aside from the official news sources, but kind of like what are the conversations that are happening both on the left and the right of the spectrum.
So this has been like such an intense 4 years, and I feel like in Arcata, for instance, a lot of how we've experienced the Trump presidency has been through the community reaction to it. Like, I think back to the times that I've encountered you out at Benson Arcata in the last few years, like at the youth-led March for Our Lives or at the climate strike. And, you know, I think if we're being honest, like, it's probably the shock of Trump that finally galvanized people to figure out how to get rid of the McKinley statue. What do you think happens now? Like, will we continue to see activism in Arcata at the levels we have?
I think that's a great question. I think if we look at just a little bit back in time, during the Bush years in Arcata, for example, and I'll admit, like, I came in towards the tail end of the Bush years. I came up here in 2005, but Arcata definitely during the Bush years had a bunch of activism and increased engagement. And in the Obama years, I think we did see things kind of, I don't want to say mellow out, but things were a little bit more tempered. So I think as a city, as a community, progressive actions were still happening, but I think the level of activism and engagement went down a bit. And I think, to your point, with Trump's election, I think people have felt, for those that are for those that haven't supported Trump, trying to figure out what can I do? Like, I feel distraught. I feel despair. Where do I put this energy? And obviously at the local level is the most direct way that people can make a positive impact. So I think time will tell what it looks like under a Biden presidency, what it looks like in Arcata. But the fact that we had so many new people run for Arcata City Council this time around, and based on the early trends of what that outcome looks like with potentially three new council members, I think that will mean that we'll see definitely some big shifts in Arcata. So I think that'll also affect, I think that'll bring in other people into the process, having some new blood on the council potentially. Yeah.
And do you think that it's that, I mean, some of those same motivations for activism have also been reasons that there so many people have been inspired to run this election, or the pandemic? I just keep wondering, like, why that we just so many council candidates compared to what I've usually seen. I mean, granted, I haven't been here all the time, and I haven't covered, you know, all of the races, but usually we see, you know, maybe a couple of one or two other candidates other than the incumbents. And this time we just have like so many people running. It's really kind of crazy. I mean, why do you think that's been?
Yeah, I think, well, if we go back to 2010, I worked on one of the candidates' campaigns, Dave Mazur for Arcata City Council. And at that point, there was, I think, about 10 candidates that time
Okay, yeah.
But I would say the number of candidates that we've had this election cycle, of so many that really went all in their campaign efforts.
Yeah, and
I think that's something that's.
I was just saying a lot more young people too. Really. They seem to be wanting to answer the moment.
Yeah,
definitely. I definitely agree with that. But I think we saw a lot more people that that I think really went all in on the campaigns. Definitely more young people, more women running for city council. I mean, potentially, if what we're seeing now with the early results translates into what the final results will be, I mean, we will have the, I think it would be the first time we'd have a majority female city council in Arcata. I don't want to prematurely say that, but not just by 3-2, but potentially 4-1, that would be a pretty overwhelming majority. So think definitely young people, women, people that may not have been historically represented, I think definitely are meeting this moment. We saw that in 2018, with Congress, and I think people are seeing it now at the local level here too.
Yeah. Well, you already brought this up. I mean, of course, we still have a lot of votes to be counted in Humboldt County. So, you know, we don't want to prematurely assume anything. But like you were saying, if the current counts are any reliable indicator at all, it looks like we might be saying goodbye to two pretty long time council members, Michael Winkler and Paul Patino. And if this is the case, what do you think this indicates about the mood of the Arcata voters?
Yeah, I think if it does go that way, I think it does show that folks are open to new people coming in. I think the fact that the early voting is coming in so strong with new candidates rising to the top, I think says a lot, given how hard I think this was for new candidates to run for office right now. If you don't have the incumbency advantage, you don't have the name recognition, you're not able to go door to door in the same way or galvanize volunteers in the same way, you're not able to, you know, hobnob in the community at chamber mixers or other community events. So really newcomers, and this many newcomers that could have split the votes in so many different ways, rising to the top with these early votes, I think shows that I think people in Arcata are really open to new voices coming in. I think there really is an appreciation for that institutional knowledge that my colleagues have. And so I have a lot of respect for that. And I think the community does too, but I think recognizing that there has to be a time to maybe consider what would it look like if we brought other voices into the process and other styles of leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. And just anecdotally, I mean, talking to some of the people in Arcata who I talked to, that was what the feeling I was getting from people. You know, people just seemed like, hey, it's not that I have anything against Michael Winkler or Paul Patino. They've been good. You know, it's just like, I just would love to see some fresh faces there. I'd just like to see some new folks, you know, let's see how that goes. And so, yeah, it's been really interesting to see. You know, kind of continuing with the local elections, of course, Arcata also had three ballots on the election, three measures on the ballot this election. Measure A, which was a parcel tax to help fund the preservation of parks and open spaces. And then we had B, which would raise the affordable housing cap. And then probably the most high profile would be Measure F, which would increase the Arcata Fire District special tax to help fund operations. And we know there was the same measure under R was on the ballot in March and failed. Again, there's still a lot of votes to be counted, but so far all of these seem to be doing very well. And I'm sure you're happy to see that.
Definitely. I think for Measure F, our fire district has been really working hard to provide a quality level of service. And I think as a community, we need to meet them partway in terms of providing that financial support. You know, it was really disappointing when the measure didn't pass back in 2015 and again this past spring. So just really great to see the community come together now that the stations had to do the rotations, et cetera. I think people saying, okay, we don't want to have the response be compromised if there was an emergency. There's no question that our fire district works incredibly hard, but we need to support them in order for them to support us. So I think it was great. And I'm glad that at this point it looks overwhelmingly, because I think that's helped boost morale. Definitely.
Yeah. That one's still, I mean, that's a tougher one, you know, to get, you know, to prematurely call, because of course it's not just Arcata. We also have the whole district, which includes, you know, some other areas, and so there'll be probably quite a few more votes to count. And of course, it needs that 2/3, which just makes it so tough. But they failed by a pretty narrow margin last time, and so, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting to see So far, yeah, the numbers are definitely showing that it might go a different way this time. So
definitely.
So I feel like with, you know, this election being over, you know, one weight has been lifted, but obviously there's still the pandemic to reckon with. As you look at things Arcata has to tackle moving forward, you know, a lot of it is going to be related to COVID and its financial impacts on the city. What are some of the issues that are at the top of your list for this new council to work on in the coming months? What does Arcata need right now?
Yeah, I think one of the top things that we're hearing is two things. One, I think helping to keep people housed. There's a lot of economic uncertainty and a lot of economic damage that's happening with COVID. So making sure that we're protecting tenants and people that are at risk of losing their homes. So how do we maintain those protections? The state really stepped up and created something that's more uniform across the state to kind of keep people keep the risk of eviction at bay as we get through this. The other piece is our small businesses and making sure that we maintain our small business community. And businesses obviously have to adapt under new circumstances. There's some businesses that are able to adapt well, and others that the nature of their business really suffers when we can't congregate in person. I thought that it was a really great coverage about, you know, homebrews and the impact of, you know, our nightlife and the gathering around music that's been impacted. So I think making sure that we're keeping an eye on that, and you know, we have council members that are working on that in a collaborative way with you know, with the chamber and Main Street. So there's work that's happening around that. And then also just making sure that we're able to maintain our services and make sure that City Hall is operating in a way that is safe for people to come in and get services, and that we're also able to just maintain basic services. Roads, you know, still need to get paved. We still need you know, public safety. So making sure all of those things are operating and that we have a sound budget is also really critical.
What about the university? How do you suspect that all of the impacts from COVID that they're experiencing trickles down into Arcata? Do you have any sense of what that will look like?
That's a good question. I think in terms of how we see the financial impact to the city of having reduced student presence, I think we haven't necessarily seen clearly what the impacts are of that long term. It kind of takes us a little bit. There's a lagging time before we can actually see, like, from a full quarter, like, what were the impacts? Like, how did sales tax get impacted, et cetera? So it's hard to say what the long term impacts are. I think in terms of housing, one question that I've gotten is like, oh, are we seeing like more vacant housing in Arcata? And kind of what I've been hearing is that, you know, housing has still been filling up and housing is still hard to access. Yeah. I think because Arcata is a pretty desirable place to live. Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen that impact, perhaps, that like there's now lots of housing that's opened up for folks. But yeah, time will tell what it looks like with decreased enrollment from HSU and having students, not having as many students in the community.
Yeah. So I think, you know, a lot of, you know, you also experienced this pandemic as a person, and I assume you have your finger on the pulse of Arcata. Like, do you have any like praise reports? Like, have you seen any bright spots out there of just like, you know, specifically people in Arcata who have met this moment, whether that be to serve the community or whether it be to, you know, a way that they've adapted as a business that you're like, wow, that's working, that you want to get out there as a inspiration to anyone else?
Sure. I think a recent example from Halloween, I think the creativity that Arcata Main Street had in really a wonderful annual event that we have, you know, where kids get to, you know, parade around the plaza. Obviously couldn't do that this year, but really coming up with a creative way to bring people to the plaza, do something that was fun and engaging for families to do, and to do it safely. So, I mean, they put in a ton of work. I have to give a shout out to Shoshana, who does like I would say she's like an unofficial mayor of Arcata. Like, she does so much for our community.
True, yeah.
Yeah.
She is Arcata's head fairy princess.
In Arcata, we don't have a mayor, really. We just have a head fairy princess who ushers people through fantastic...
You're talking about the spooky plaza car caravan or whatever it was called. And I didn't go to... So this is something you went to?
Unfortunately, I didn't make it out. Okay. We're just taking some extra precautions with our newborn. So didn't make it out, but definitely followed what was happening online and all the pictures. I mean, just really, really creative setups around the plaza, having different stations. So I think this has been an incredibly hard time, you know, for families, for everyone. But I think the creativity that comes from these tensions and these limitations, I think it's been really, really neat to see.
Yeah. I checked that out a little bit. I was curious about if you heard much on the reception of that event on the plaza, because I was really surprised to see how crazy popular it was. Like, I think with one, you know, with COVID, it's always hard because you don't want to promote things too much because you don't want to, you know, draw too much of a crowd, right? And I don't think that Arcata, you know, even really did that much. But then, you know, I decided at a moment around a little after 7, I thought, you know, I'll grab the baby and maybe we will go check this out. And I live right downtown. Right by Samoa, and I got her all bundled up, and we went to get in the car, and then I realized that the line of cars was going past my house. It was like going all the way to Samoa, and it was just stopped traffic. And I thought, oh man, I hope that they, you know, didn't feel like they weren't prepared for this level of
people are bored out of their minds, man.
there weren't too many competing things, so it was like a lot of Humboldt wanted to come to this, so
the traffic was wild, so I think you're right, people were definitely hungry for something, but from everything I had heard and read, that I think it seemed like folks felt like it was worth the wait, so that's also good. Nothing worse than waiting in traffic for something and then being disappointed by what you waited for.
Right. So. But I feel like people were having fun with it. Like they were just stopped in traffic and they were just kind of, you know, sticking their heads out of their cars and just kind of making it like into a party. And I was walking by with my baby and she was just waving at everybody in the cars, and they got a real kick out of that, so that was good. I felt like we were unofficial entertainment. I was like, yeah, hey. Anyway, you know, speaking of babies, Sophia, I obviously have to talk to you about the other big thing that's gone on in your life. So, you know, in addition to serving on the Arcata City Council, and on top of that, you also had a baby about 3 months ago?
Yeah, a little over 3 months,
I believe,
ago.
Yeah. Yep. So, during all of this and on top of everything else you have going on, you had a baby, and I am almost certain you're our first guest to have had a baby during COVID.
Congratulations.
So congratulations. Yeah. A late congratulations to you. So, I feel like I just have to start by asking, you know, what that experience was like. And I don't mean, you know, you don't need to go into details about your,
but you can.
Labor unless you want to, but you know, I mean, just I having all these different, you know, protocols now, you know, in the hospital, I believe that you birthed at Mad River. So and so, you know, it must have just been such a different experience than what would have usually been expected. I'm just wondering how that was for you.
Yeah. I mean, so the first half of my pregnancy, we were not in a pandemic, and that feels like years ago. Like, I think for all of us, the pandemic has really like skewed our sense of time. Going into the pregnancy, I didn't think that there was going to be a pandemic. And once the pandemic, you know, really, you know, came close to home, obviously that changed things for all of us. And I think, you know, there was a lot of things that we had to kind of sacrifice and give up whatever our expectations were. You know, I didn't get to, you know, do the traditional baby shower, got to do a virtual one. And that also had like really things, a lot of positives, you know, getting to bring in people that maybe couldn't be there in person. But, you know, seeing family, you know, had family quarantine, you know, and I have some family that still haven't met, you know, their newest family member. So there's a lot of sacrifices that, that get made in this pandemic. And, so I just really appreciate, I think, how our county really has stepped up and taken, taking it really seriously. You know, birthing during a pandemic, definitely brings up, you know, questions and uncertainty of what that experience was going to be like. Mad River was incredible. It was really, really great staff. You know, we weren't, you know, I was able to have my partner there with me, and I know that there are other women across the country that did not get to have that. You know, we weren't able to have any other additional support, like a doula, for example. But we, you know, incredibly lucky that, you know, my partner could be there with me. So, you know, I think it's just been hard in terms of, I think for, you know, anyone that has a newborn, it's a, as you know, it's tiring. It's a beautiful experience. But it's also one that you want to share with other people. Obviously this is a more challenging time for that. But overall we've been really lucky. I think kind of like what we're talking about with the community events, it's like, I think with limitations, people find ways to be creative and find new ways to connect. And so I think the fact that we can connect virtually has been really, really good. There's, you know, I'm not the only person that's given birth right now during a pandemic. So there's a lot of really great support out there. You know, it's like, I'm connected to other women here locally that also, have, you know, young babies and newborns. And so there's a lot of really strong, close-knit community that's, you know, maybe not able to, you know, we can't like hug each other in person, but we're able to provide support to each other during this time. So I think there's a lot of silver linings in this really tough time that can feel really isolating for a new mother or for new parents. But there's I feel like some good support that's out there.
Have you been, what is some of the support that you've been taking advantage of? Have you found some good online parent groups, or, you know, I went to one of those like breastfeeding support groups for a little while, stuff like that, but I haven't even really looked to see what's going on now. What have you found anything that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah. I mean, I have to really give a lot of credit to our local doulas that really have stepped up to create virtual spaces for connecting. So, for example, Jody Domino does I did prenatal yoga before the pandemic hit, you know, and it was a nice way to meet other moms. And so she stepped up and created a virtual, you know, support group for women experiencing, you know, sorry, I was saying women experiencing pregnancy, women with who are pregnant.
It's an experience.
An experience. It is definitely an experience.
Yes.
And then transitioned to providing a postpartum like support group. So she's really stepped up to create those spaces. Sarah Torres, who was our doula, also has done a really great job of, you know, bringing other moms together in a virtual space or through social distance, like far social distance visits. So I think all of that's been really good. So I think there are ways for, you know, folks to connect, either like that breastfeeding support group. I don't know if it's the same group, but there's one online locally that has, you know, still been meeting weekly online. So obviously not the same as having everyone bring their babies into the room together and getting to have that bonding experience, but still providing some level of support. And in some ways, sometimes jumping onto a Zoom call is much easier than the logistics of trying to get a baby out the door.
Absolutely. So. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. In the beginning, trying to do that, get them dressed and in a car and out somewhere. Yeah. And that's totally true with the, you know, Zoom, that sometimes, although you know, it lacks some of what you're looking for, you know, with social social groups, you know, like you said, it has its own advantages. It can be easier to do. And, you know, yeah, with prenatal yoga, I did that too. And I have to say, I mean, the class that I was going to, one of them, it was really less yoga and more just a bunch of pregnant women bitching. So that you could still easily have in Zoom. That was like, I found that was more of the purpose I found than actually like stretching it out and getting some good yoga. It was just to be able to talk about. Sometimes it would be like one woman would just talk for like 20 minutes, you know, complaining about her husband and whatever. And, you know, you just like let her, you're like, at some point, I think we're going to do some yoga, but just like, you got to get it out.
Yeah. True.
Would you like to do some yoga right now?
Go ahead, let it all out.
Might be the time.
Maybe. But yeah. Really, you know, right now especially now, I've found with the election and a whole nother thing that we're, you know, that's on our minds other than our babies. I'm just finding myself, you know, very distracted, and that can be kind of difficult. I mean, how's it been for you just, you know, since just juggling everything and finding that balance? How are you finding your balance?
You know, the balance that none of us are ever able to achieve. I mean, someone had said, instead of seeking balance, seek harmony, which sounds, you know, a little wooey, but but I think the idea that, you know, things are ebbing and flowing, so right, something is gonna, you know, crescendo, if we're gonna continue with the, I don't know, the music theme.
Okay,
here,
yeah.
I'm not gonna go too far with that. but this idea that, like, right, some things are gonna come more, you know, front and center in our lives, and something may have to step back. Or I've seen a lot of this analogy of, like, you're juggling different balls, and some are glass, so if you drop them, like, they're gonna shatter, but some can bounce back if you drop them, you know. So it's like, I think recognizing, okay, you know, with a newborn, like, my house is not going to be pristine. Luckily, no one's coming over.
Yes, again, now an advantage that comes with COVID. Again, you could just let it go with the house cleaning.
We don't have to worry about that. You know, I mean, with our, you know, city council meetings, it's like, you know, we're virtual right now. So there's times where my son needs to be with me, you know, and so sometimes he verbalizes and wants to he wants to contribute when I report out on something. He just is like, I have something to say about this matter. He's very, very interested in public transit and recycling. He's really stepped up on those issues.
Already another a city council member in the making.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He'll find his own path. It doesn't have to be that. He'll find his own path. But, so I think it's obviously the point where I'm going back to my day job, you know, just trying to find ways to make that work. You know, I think becoming a mom has made me realize, when I have 15 minutes, how much more I can get done than I thought. Like, pre-baby, like 15 minutes, you know, scrolling on your phone or something, you're like, oh, where did the time go? And I'm like, 15 minutes, like, okay, like, I like the laundry's all put away, the dishes, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's like you get stuff done in 15 minutes. So I think there definitely has been a shift there in terms of my efficiency.
Yes, I remember one of the first times my mom came over and, like, you know, watched the baby for a little bit. Well, and I just said, you know, can you just stay with her while I, you know, try to clean up the house that of course was a disaster. And she said her mind was just blown at how I cleaned my whole house in like less than 10 minutes. She's like, how did you do that? I just don't even understand. It's like, yeah, it's amazing how you learn to take advantage of the time. And, you know, like you said too, I think it's been really good in some ways to have a child during all of this, because they force you to reevaluate your priorities, and they force you to learn to let things go and to accept things that you can't control. And I think that that's that's been, you know, I'm always fighting it still, but both with the baby and other issues. But I think that that's something that I've been really grateful for, is that just learning to let things go. You have too much on your plate, just like let something go off of the plate, just forget about it. And and it's been, you know, it's been an important thing during all of this, I think.
Well, I think too that it coincides with COVID. Like we're all granting each other a little more grace, I think, than we were previously. Like there is a lot more understanding and favor given to people, because we realize that we're all just wrestling with something insurmountable that no one has experience with, that we're just we're all letting things go, even me who has no child.
Yeah, but you're right. Everyone, I mean, everyone has been struggling with this, right? Yeah. This has been going on. I mean, I saw somewhere, it's like, oh, you know, March is only, you know, like a few months away. And it's like, what? Like, there's going to be a point where like, oh, we've been in this for like a year, at least. You know, so yeah, I think we're all really struggling. I think probably the way we've worked as a culture has been really unsustainable.
Yes.
And I think that's part of why that grace is happening, is on some level people are like, I'm burnt out. Like the way that we've constantly go, we don't support people necessarily, you know, and taking vacations or taking care of themselves when they're sick. Like I hope one of the things that like forever stays is that when people are sick, they can stay home.
Yes.
They don't, one, that they have like paid sick leave. So like whether you're an hourly worker or salary, that you should have like paid sick leave so that you could stay home. But also that there's not the peer pressure, the cultural pressure, the workplace pressure to show up. I mean, I think we've all had jobs where there is an incredible amount of pressure. Like I remember working during the swine flu, H1N1, there was people in my work that had it. And like some of us were getting sick and like management was like, yeah, but like, you're going to come in, right? It's like, what? Like the swine flu is spreading. Like people are getting it. And like, but it was like, you were going to get dinged on your, you know, your record if you didn't show up because you were sick. So, you know, I'm hoping that's something that sticks.
This has been horrible and horrifying. And but if the silver lining that comes out of it is just that we have just a complete society-wide recalibration of norms and standards and what we expect, you know, the balance of our home life and our working life and our relationships.
Is there anything else that you want to add, Sophia? Is there a message you'd like to get out to your community in these trying times?
Oh gosh, no pressure.
As we were just talking about being more forgiving.
Now perform for us.
Now say something just unquestionably brilliant.
Well, geez, I have some notes in my phone of like brilliant things I've wanted to say somewhere. Oh, maybe I'll say, no, I'm kidding. I don't like, oh, that's a brilliant thought. No, I don't.
Yeah. I don't. Oh, really? I would believe that you do something like that. You have to also have to write things down when you're a mom. You got to write everything down.
That's true. Yeah. I guess maybe I haven't been feeling like I've had lots of profound, inspirational, you know, pithy things to pithy sound bites to give. But I think, given that the nature of this, are we calling this a podcast? Like, I
don't, yeah, we don't, never? We never know.
It's we never know. Okay.
Yeah,
like, so
I don't know.
The nature of this like series though is right. Like humbled holding up during it, right. During a pandemic. And so I think just reiterating, like, there's no question that this has been incredibly a difficult time. People are having to make sacrifices. I think as a community, we're asking people to continue making sacrifices, which I think is going to be really hard during the holiday season. Like it, you know, it's like, I'm probably not going to see my family outside of, you know, the county for the holidays, you know? So it's like, we're all giving up a lot of stuff. And I think we're seeing people being really creative in how to stay connected with each other. And I think now that we recognize like, okay, we're in this, like this is not just like a few weeks or a few months. I'm hoping that people will continue to see where the opportunities are to maintain connection with each other and to create new community traditions together. We're not going to be in a pandemic forever, but I think that that spirit of creativity that we have definitely in Arcata and I mean across Humboldt County, I mean, it just figuring out, okay, how do we stay connected? How do we still enjoy this place that we all love? I know events and community gatherings are a big part of that and just finding ways to still create those spaces together.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, as I say, thank you for jumping into yet another Zoom with us. I'm sure you've spent more time in these than you want to. And yeah, stay safe, stay creative, and yeah, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sophia. And I really hope that for your sake that Reese is still sleeping. And that you will get to sleep a little bit yourself, maybe after this. I know that that's taking your valuable baby nap time and spending it with us instead of getting some rest, which I'm sure would be a great option for you. Is just I really appreciate it. So.
And now you can go back to refreshing Arizona vote totals.
Oh yeah. My gosh, I know. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, if anything, it was this was a good little break. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks,
Take
Sophia.
Care.
All right, that's it. Sophia Pereira, thank you for sharing some thoughts and wisdom with us. Good mom and down time you had.
Oh yes, thank you. And I was just on autopilot mode. I was about to tell everybody to mask up and make sure to vote. And then I realized, wait a minute.
We don't have to say that anymore.
We don't have to say that anymore. So good job voting, hopefully, if you did that. And now we're just going to hang out and wait. Who knows? By the time we air this, maybe we'll have some more results. But we're looking good. Looking good for Biden right now.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Aliens could land. Who knows?
Yes. I mean, I just, at this point, you know, I just don't get my hopes up anymore. I don't believe things until they...
No, I want you... Oh, Steph, I want you... It's okay. But for 2021, here's what I want you to do. discover hope again.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try. I'll try my best.
Okay. And on that note... I'm done with this.
Right. I hope to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. All right. Later.
Bye, God.